I want to share with you just real quick for the next few minutes, and this was not even the message that I was planning on bringing today, but just this last week at Network Conference, our superintendent, Pastor Rich Guerra, focused on some of these points, and it just hit my heart, and I know God was just saying, this has got to be our focus, and so I want to share this with you, and I've titled it The Response of Love. Are we responding in love? And in Luke chapter 10, a story that I know we're very familiar with, but I want us to read it again and look at some points maybe that we have not seen before. Starting in verse 25, it says, "Behold, a lawyer stood up to put him," which was Jesus, "to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" Now that's a good question. We all want eternal life. We want to experience life itself. I just want to have life. I want to just make the most of life. And that's what he means. It's not just heaven. I just want to have the abundance of life to the fullest. What do I need to do? So this is a question that touches all of us. Jesus said to him, "Well, what is written in the law? How do you read it?" And the lawyer answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." So Jesus said exactly what you said. If you do that, you will live. Nothing will stop you. If you love God with all your heart, soul, strength, spirit, and love your neighbor as yourself, you have completed everything. Just love God and love your neighbor. But it says the lawyer, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "Well, who is my neighbor?" Now, I love this question. This is, I want to do what you said, Jesus. I want to love, but really, see, he wanted a specific thing that we can do. We want to limit it to our parameters so that I can check a box and then go on with my life. He wanted to justify himself. He wanted to make it something that he could do. Who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him, and he bound up his wounds. He poured on him oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and he gave it to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' And Jesus said, 'Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?' And the lawyer said, 'The one who showed him mercy.' And Jesus said to him, 'You go and do likewise.'" Now, we know that story of the Good Samaritan. And it is the very source of life. Remember, this is in response to this question, "God, how can I have life? Jesus, how can I know eternal life?" To love God, to love your neighbor. Okay, well, if I want life, then who is my neighbor? Now, here's the key thing. Many of us are stuck on this question. The lawyer said, "Who is my neighbor?" See, we want, okay, what do I need to do? What is the limit? When we say, "Who is my neighbor?" it's a very limiting question. Because we want God to say, you love him, okay, then you're done. See, we want a checklist. That's why sometimes we like rules, because we can look and value, okay, have I done it? Have I done it? Okay, I'm good to go. Which God does not go by rules. It says that he has set us free from the law. Now, many times we think, well, that's easier. We can do whatever we want. No, it's actually harder. Because now we're not limited to the service that God calls us. He's actually called us now to a greater surrender, because it's not about who is my neighbor. Here's the question Jesus turned around and asked him. He said, at the end of the story, he said, which one was the neighbor to the hurting man? You see, Jesus isn't worried about who is my neighbor. He's worried about what kind of neighbor are you? You need to stop worrying about who is my neighbor and start asking the question, what kind of neighbor am I? Am I a neighbor to the hurting? Because basically Jesus said everyone is your neighbor. Anyone that is hurting, anyone that is around you. The question is not, are they your neighbor? The question is, are you a neighbor to them? We need to begin to ask ourselves, if I want to enter into the life that God has for us, what kind of neighbor am I? What kind of neighbor am I? If I am going to respond in love, if I have been given the love of God, if I love God with all my heart and my mind and my strength, and we say that we do, then am I, in response to that love, being a neighbor? Regardless of who is my neighbor. I don't care who my neighbor is, I'm going to be a neighbor. You see, this changes how we view our life. It says that our life is not our own, but we were purchased with a price. Do you realize that your body is not yours? Let us then honor God with our body. Let me be a neighbor to anyone that comes my way. So I love this picture of the Good Samaritan. How was he a neighbor? What made him so great? And there's four things that we see real quick, and we're going to just go through these pretty quick. Four things that made him a neighbor. And the first two kind of go together, and then the last two kind of go together. So it's really 1A and 1B and 2A and 2B. But the first thing it says that we read there, it says that as the Samaritan walked by, he saw the man. Here's the first thing. If you're going to be a neighbor, you have to see. I think, and this is the first step that I think many of us don't do. Do you see people around you? And when I say see, the Levite saw him and the priest saw him and they walked the other way. So they didn't really see him. What they saw was an inconvenience. Now, we give them a bad rap because we say, man, what kind of a priest and a Levite? They didn't even care about the person. Here's the thing. If they were coming through Samaria, okay, so the idea is this is a person on the road, then therefore they were probably from the Galilean area, and a priest and a Levite are the people that work in the temple. And the way it worked at that time was that they only had 1 week a year that they got to work in the temple. It was a privilege, and it was a rotating thing. And so this is their only week to serve God in the temple. And if they were to touch a person who was bleeding or who was dead, it takes them 7 days to become pure again. Now, I don't think they were not willing to ever become impure, but here was the choice they made. If I do it now, I cannot serve God in the temple. You see, this was their 1 week. And so what happened was, I think we give them, I don't think that they were just that uncaring, but they put this one opportunity to serve God above this one opportunity that they might have felt, there's going to be many times that I might minister to people. So what does it hurt if I just this one time don't touch this person? And yet, it is because of that they didn't see the person. They only saw the opportunity. They only saw what they were doing for God. They only saw the things that God has called me to. And they did not see the person, that a person trumps our service, trumps what we are called to as God, because that is our service. That is. And yet the Samaritan saw the person. Do we see people around us? Do we see the real needs? Do we see the hurts? Now, and I'm not just talking about the world. I mean, hopefully, sometimes we don't even see the world. We see them on TV and it becomes just a picture that we see. And yeah, it makes us cry and it kind of moves us for a second, but do you really see them as people? When we look at these pictures on the walls and on our banners, do you see them as real people or just as kind of a show and they're distant? We need to understand that Jesus sees them individually as hurting people. But beyond that, your neighbors, your coworkers. We get so used to just seeing them in everyday life that we don't realize there are things in their life that go beyond what you can see. I love this little video here, and hopefully this will kind of realize that I wish we had something like this that we could see what we don't see.
Kid, every time I'm pulling out, he's right there. Man, then someone needs to talk to his parents, if they're ever at home. What is up with the traffic today? It's always, every day, this intersection's always crowded. I hate pulling out of here. Maybe some of these dumb roads. Oh, there's... Oh. Okay, so I'm not even here. Right. Great lady. The princess of parking. Sure. Take the spot. Way to be considerate. Oh, are you kidding me? Unbelievable. Oh.
Thank you, ma'am.
It's about time. Let's see. What do I want?
Could I add a cookie to that order?
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, no problem, only guy in the world. I'm sure you need your cookie. The world, your oyster, and he's serving your cookie.
Thanks,
thank
sir.
You so much.
Uh-huh. What can I get for you?
I'll have a tall decaf macchiato.
Yeah, sure, no problem. $3.85. And it might take a few minutes here. We've got quite a line, obviously, and thanks for your patience.
Great.
Yeah, great. Great for me. Waiting again. Unbelievable. What? What is... What am I supposed to do? How can I do anything about that? Can I even help with that? I don't...
Your copy, sir. Oh.
I can't take this anymore. I gotta get out of here.
Hey, what?
Buddy, come here.
Do we see people around us? He saw I think that's the first step. We've got to see people. But not only did he see, it says that when he saw him, he had compassion. And really, these go hand in hand. We need to be moved by what we see. When we see it, are we moved by that? Or do we just say, oh, I can't do anything about it? Now, this is something we need to pray, God, give me a new heart. It says in Ezekiel and in Jeremiah, the promise of God, he says, I will take out of your heart the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. This is something we cannot produce on our own, because in our own ability, we cannot produce that compassion. We need to pray, God, give me a heart of compassion. Are you willing to pray that? Are you willing to take a risk that God will give you that? Because when God gives you that compassion, it's going to change everything. Are you willing to take a risk? Some of us, we're afraid of that. I don't want to pray that, because what happens if I truly had compassion? But it says that he saw and then he had compassion. He was moved. Not only did he have compassion, but it says the second thing is he went. He went to him. Now, it's not about just going. The thing is, he changed his course. He was willing to change the direction of his life. If we are going to respond to love, it cannot just be something. See, many times we'll help people if it's within the same direction. Oh, sure, yeah, I'll give him a buck. I'll give him, because it's no problem. It's no sacrifice. If we are going to respond to love, we've got to go outside of our normal routine. We've got to go. You see, Jesus said, go. And it may be to the world. It may be that God has called someone here to, man, I want to go be part of Mission 111. I want to go be part, and I'm going to give my life for a year to God. Or for some of us, it may mean in your workplace, you're going to start getting out of your comfort zone. Or in your neighborhood, you're going to start doing things that are not comfortable. At your school, at your home, wherever it is, are you willing to move outside of your routine, out of your schedule, and change and sacrifice your time and way? He went. He was not afraid to be inconvenienced. He went to him. Now, part of that going was, it says that he took care of him. He went to him so that he could take care of him. He didn't go to him out of curiosity. It's not that we change our schedule just to do a service and say I did something. He went to him and took care of him. He took responsibility. We need to begin to say, I am going to take responsibility for the things I see, for the things that move me, for the things that God calls me out of my box. He took care of the man. Now, it's interesting how he took care, and this is the same way that God has called us. You might say, how can I take care of these people around the world, the refugees? How can I take care of those? I can't do anything about that. But yet, there's three things that he did that all of us can do. Because it's not just about the world, but it's even those in our life that we come across. If you look at it, three things that he did. The first thing is he bandaged him himself. He did what he could do. He had his own oil and wine for his own use, and yet he gave it to him. He comforted the best he could. Some of you, you may not know all the gospel, but you know what? You can be a friend to someone. You can do what you can do. You are called to be a comforter, a bandager. You can be. Maybe a Band-Aid is not going to solve it, but sometimes you need the Band-Aid in the short term just to get them to the next level. You need to be willing to do what you can do for those around you, to bandage the wounds of people that you meet. It's not a cure-all, but it's what you can do. We've got to do what we can do. But the second thing is, then he took him someplace else. I can't do it all, so he brought him. He brought him to the inn. You know, that's where we do have the church. Now, it's not the church's job. It's not my job to touch the world. That's your job. But sometimes we can bring them to the body. We can bring them to church where that they can receive more comfort. They might make contact with someone else. We do need to bring them. I love it what Andrew did. He went to Nathanael and he said, come and see this guy we met, Jesus. He couldn't do anything, but he brought him. Sometimes the only thing you can do is bring them. You see, the Samaritan brought him. I don't know what else to do, but he put him on his horse and he brought him. Bring them to church. Bring them to others. And the third thing is, he made a way. He paid for it. He supported it. He provided for them. Sometimes that's all we can do. But we can give. And that's why giving is a part. And now, it's not the whole thing. Many times we do the paid for and we don't want to do the first two. You got to do all of them. We need to do the first two more than the third. It's not just about how much you give, but it is about what you can give, because in spite of anything else, you can support and send those that will go. The refugees, these other places, Africa, as you give, you are taking part in that. As long as you are also bandaging those around you, bringing others, and then paying for them. He told the innkeeper, he says, I'm just going to give you money, and let me know what else it takes. I'm going to give to that. He had a heart to give. He was generous. Not only did he just do the easy, but then he did something that cost him. And in those three ways, he took care of him. You see, we can do all of those three. There are people in your life that you can give comfort to. There's people in your life that you can bring. And then there's people that we can support, our missionaries, our projects, that you have a difference. You are taking care of the world. You might not know it, but it makes a difference. And so in all of these ways, he took care of them. And so Jesus simply said, go and do likewise. If we want life, this is what we're called to do. You see, many times we think, oh, I want life, so I just have to say a sinner's prayer. I believe in Jesus. I'm taken care of. No. Jesus said, if you want life, this is what you have to do. This is part of the whole thing. Love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and spirit. But love your neighbor as yourself. See, be moved, go, and take care of people. That is just as important as loving God. In fact, it is the part of loving God. It is the out expression of loving God. And we know that verse that we heard earlier, that when you do it to the least of these, you're doing it to Jesus. You see, that how can you say you love God when you don't do these things? It says in James that you're a liar. Your faith is dead. You say you have faith in Christ, but if you're not seeing people, if you're not being moved by people, if you're not moving out of your comfort zone, and if you're not taking care of them, then you are a liar. Because these are the very expressions of God. And so we need to be people that are moved by those around us. You see, you don't have to give thousands of dollars, but are you willing to take care? Just take responsibility. I'm going to do what I can do and make a difference. I'm going to start seeing people around me at school that are hurting. I'm going to start seeing people and responding differently. God, give me glasses that I can see that and stop being the selfish, self-centered person that we all are. And we've all done it. And even people that hurt us, people that are our enemies, the way we love them, like Jesus said, is because we put on glasses and we see that there are pains in their heart and their life that is causing them to probably be our enemy. They are hurt. Jesus said he looked up and saw the crowds, and he recognized that they were like sheep without a shepherd. The reason they were the way they were was not because they're just a bunch of wicked, no good people, but it's because they are under the captivity of the enemy and their own sin is holding them down. Do we have a compassion for people to see them beyond how it affects us? We are called to go and do likewise. So we want to do that. Let's begin to look in our hearts and say, what kind of neighbor am I? Let's stop asking, who is my neighbor? Let's stop asking, where do I need to do this and this and this? And start asking just, what kind of neighbor am I? I'm just going to worry about me. What kind of neighbor am I? I'm going to be that kind of person. No matter what people respond, whether I get thanks for it or not, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to be the neighbor I need to be, because that's my response to love. Let's bow our hearts.